I'd like to call the order of the Government Ops Committee meeting for April 19th, 2023. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Oh, I don't know why I did you in that order, sorry. Congressman Big Horse.
Present.
And Congressman Maker.
Here.
Thank you. Congresswoman Lemon, could you render us a prayer, please?
Certainly. Thank you, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful weather. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity to serve our people. We ask that you be with us today as we make decisions going forward. And I ask that you please could bless us with some rain. In your loving name, amen.
Thank you. Next step is approval of the minutes. Please look over the packet. The minutes are for April 17th.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I motion to approve the minutes for April 17th, 2023 as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes for April 17th as presented. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Moving on, agenda item number five. Just a sec, we're going to go get the sponsor. And I want to make clear as the chair that the meeting scheduled for 12, I'm willing to extend to 12:10. I'm not willing to extend past that. So that's just a heads up to fellow committee members. Thank you. Item number five on the agenda, ONCA 23-59, an act to amend the election code at 12 ONC 6-102, 6-103, and 4-104 on voting procedure, absentee voting, and the availability of the Osage Voter Registry, and establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Revard. Congresswoman Revard, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. So I was approached by the election office to do a courtesy sponsor for them for the two bills you see in the resolution. And so I have invited, reached out to Alexis, and I think that you did as well, to come and discuss in more detail what action that they're trying to afford our people through the election process. And so I'd like to turn it over to Alexis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have to just have to, if you get too close, it gets staticky, but if you can hear yourself, Alexis, then you're good to go.
Okay.
There you go.
Real quick, Director Rencounter, I sent out documents yesterday afternoon for all the committee members. There's red line rules and regs. If you guys just want to review those, and if you have any questions for the director here, we can go ahead and talk about it. So just wanted to give a heads up. All right, go ahead, Director Rencounter, go ahead.
In 4-104, we are asking to limit distribution of the voter registry request. We had, after the election cycle, in 22, we had a reporter contact us and ask if our voter list was distributed to somebody other than within our Osage members that could have provided it for a targeted mailing list for during some campaign. I'm not for sure of all of the details. And so we really want to restrict and make sure that it is prohibited from sharing or distributing it to any other individuals or entities, as well as obviously voters and candidates too. So that's 4-104, 6-102. We would ask that the sample ballot be removed from the election notice mailing. In the last election cycle, there was major confusion for some reason regarding the sample ballot. Voters seemed to think that that was their actual ballot, and it wasn't. In the primary election, we actually received sample ballots back in the absentee ballot envelopes during the election. So they didn't actually vote the official ballot, and they voted the sample ballot. Also, it's going to take care of some of those Facebook rumors and confusion and misinformation spread out there. We will run it in the newspaper still, and we are working really hard to get a system where it will, we will have a voter portal so that people can access that information on there. It will be on our website as well. And of course, we will print it upon request. But in prior years, we've never printed it in-house to begin with. So we only print them on colored paper for the actual election day.
Does anyone have any questions? I have a question. Mm-hmm. So just an estimate, what is the return rate as far as the ballots being requested and going out, and then the actual filled out ballots coming back? What percentage would you, just a rough estimate of what do you think?
That actually is another part of the reason why I'm here today, is to clean up the, and clean up might be the wrong word, I'm sorry. We need to do some list maintenance on our permanent absentee ballot voter list, which I believe is around 3,000 members are on the permanent absentee voter list, and we, that doesn't include temporary, but we got back, I think, like 1,700 ballots in the last election, so we do have members without addresses on that list, so it, the numbers do not truly represent the voters.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I have a question, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Congresswoman Revor.
I think there was some more discussion of folks that have passed away that were on the permanent list. And unfortunately, you know, it's hard for us to get a true membership number because of that. The only way that that's really shared is if someone uses our burial assistance, then that information is shared with our membership office. And I think that we had spoke about that a little bit as well.
I had actually reached out to the membership department in months past to see, I was trying to get information on accessing the National Change of Address database and other databases that are provided to mail houses, and so that we could use those to try to maintain our list. And a part of that was they would return a list with deceased members on it to us, but because of how deceased members are, their status has changed within the membership department, that wouldn't be a way to provide that information to membership for them to remove their names. So that's, we get return mail, this person is deceased, and we really can't do anything. Our hands are tied at that point. So I have thought, and I don't know how tacky it may be, but I have thought of putting on our mail pieces that go out, if your family member that is named on this envelope has passed, please contact membership. I mean, it's something small. It's not going to cost us anymore.
I think that's a great idea, actually. Anyone else?
Do you want me to go over anything else, or am I good?
Yeah, Director Rencounter, could you go over some of you guys' rules and regs that you guys are wanting to change? Are there any in this?
I thought we were on the election code. I'm sorry.
Not on the rules and regs. Oh, my mistake.
So Absentee voting is always a big issue. We are asking, like I said, to try to better maintain the permanent absentee list. And also, we are wanting to require notarized signatures. We have found in recent elections where people are trying to sign for others. So to rectify that, we would really like to see a notarized form come through our office. And honestly, even more so than that, if we ever do have a petition, we don't have any signature verification process put in place because we don't have voter registration like other counties and states. And so it might be something asking the members to submit a notarized signature just for us to have on file. So a lot of changes coming, but the notarized statement sent out to the permanent absentee voters may remove some voters from that list. So I see that as being possibly an issue, but in the long run, it's for the best.
Thank you. Congressman Bakehorse, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think these are all good changes. I was just wondering on the poll watcher language, where you have new language being in view of voters during polling hours. I understand what you're trying to do, but I'm just wondering how you're going to get there.
Very easily. We have curtains put up in our what we normally use as the polling place out at the Civic Center. We put up an aisle of curtains. And so the poll watcher would be able to see us turn on machines, lock them down, all of that process, same thing at the end of the night. But when you have a poll watcher sitting there in view of everyone coming in and leaving, and we need to be more strict about talking, etc., it could lead to some thinking that that person might be electioneering, and that could come back on us and looks bad on us. So just to prevent that from ever happening, we are hoping to prevent by law the people being in view of the public.
I have a comment,
thank you,
Chair.
Congresswoman Rivard, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So the reason, and I apologize that I filed this, you know, later during Hanukkah, but in speaking with Director Raincounter, we thought it's better to do it during Hanukkah than to wait during CJO so that she has an avenue to better communicate with our voters. And I think that that was a very smart, very important that there's communication beforehand, as she mentioned, because there will be some changes that come about. And I think that out of respect for our voters, that it's better to start communicating in the front end. So I do want to just make that comment. Thank you.
We do have a mail out scheduled to go out in May regarding a lot of this and a lot of how to vote options and address updates and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, voter apathy is a big problem within our tribe, state, federal. I know Congressman Potts offered give everyone, you know, just send them a ballot. But yeah, this is very important work, and we're always trying to increase the turnout. So it's a huge challenge. So does anyone else have any questions regarding this bill? Go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Director Raincounter, for being here with us today. You know, I feel that what you're presenting us here and what we had a chance to look through is improving the integrity of our election.
Yes.
And I feel that these measures improve the integrity. I support these measures. There's going to be people that don't, but we know that that's part of the process that we all go through in the positions that we hold and that we work in. I would never want, and I don't think you would either, Ms. Raincounter, that someone to feel that they're not able to vote, you know, for whatever reason, And, you know, a notary has become a big thing for a lot of, you know, different topics here besides just voting. But anybody sitting in these seats, I would think that they would feel, but I mean, of course, I can't speak for them, that the integrity is where a lot of trust is lost and the lack of it. And I feel that these are smart moves, and there may be a few people that are not going to be able to vote because of it. But it definitely improves the integrity of our election process. And I appreciate you always and your board always looking at that aspect as a whole and assessing what took place in each election and how can we improve it. And sometimes improvements, you know, they cause great change, and change is hard. It's real hard for Indian people. I mean, it is. And so on certain avenues and certain things. So thank you so much for doing this. And, you know, like I said, there's going to be a lot of talk. Some people are like, well, I'm not going to get to vote, or somebody's going to have a story. There's going to be a story out there. There always is. But the integrity is what I'm interested in improving on every aspect. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. Congressman Potts, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my language, or my concern, is specific to the language regarding the availability of the voter registry to qualify candidates. So my understanding is all we're adding is Section 5, which reads, voters requesting list or sublists shall be prohibited from sharing or distributing to candidates, individuals, or entities. My concern there is that language is binding, and that if I share that list with an entity to complete the purposes of a mail out, technically I'm violating the law.
It's a good point.
So I think we need to, I'm not opposed to that provision. I think it's well intended, but I think the wording there is handcuffing in a way, because while that. We certainly don't say, I mean, how else are you going to get a mailing out?
Right.
You've got Correct. To be able to share that list with an entity that can send a mail out, which I've done before. Stuffed enough of those envelopes. But I think that language is, limiting in a way. And so while I support it, in a sense, I think we need to address that so that it's more clearly defined what we're intending to try to stop there.
Do you have a suggestion?
Not right now. But
okay. Moving to suggestions?
Well, I think Perfect. Somebody stepped out to get Trey.
You hit on something I asked her. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Do agree with Congressman Potts on this because I think a lot of us, you know, use different services to do our mail outs, mm-hmm. Not as it was back in the day when you could handwrite. But I think I'm glad that you brought that up, Congressman Potts. And I would definitely, you know, that's why we're here at committee, is to work on this. And thank you that you were in agreement with that. But I do think that we ought to, you know, get an amendment prepared. I don't know, Chair, however you feel, we could either do it here or on the floor, but we do need to address that.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, let me just say something real quick. So I had called Council Gill. As it is now, correct me if I'm wrong, Council, any Osage citizen can get a registry of all the voters, right? Is that if they request it? Is that correct in the law?
I believe it's any registered voter can get a list of the registered voters, including their addresses. Yes.
Yes.
So think about it now. So what Eli pointed out, he's saying that if we share it with someone else, right? And the law says we can't do that. And then it also says that any registered Osage voter could just get the list. Like, yeah, there is something that we need to fix with this little section of that.
And I think, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Furthermore, however well-intended, I think this also is what happens in the instance of voters requesting list or sublist prohibited from sharing with distribution of or distributing to candidates or individuals. If, say, I'm holding a candidate announcement dinner, and somebody says, hey, let me know who you invited. We want to call and follow up and make sure that they're going to be there, or also extend an invitation. This language would prohibit us from saying, here's my invite list. This is who I invited to this event. We couldn't share that at that point.
We don't give out phone numbers, though.
Certainly, we don't, but we know who from our communities are on the list, and we can get phone numbers from Mr. other Chairman. Individuals.
Yeah, go ahead, Council.
In that scenario, who would be following up with the invitee list?
So, for instance, in my case, I held a dinner. I've had other volunteers to my campaign say, hey, send me the list so that we can contact them, stop by their house, so they can print an invitation to deliver to that individual. This language would limit that because we can't share that list with other candidates. We can't share it with individuals or entities.
What about your candidate committee?
Top of page two.
We couldn't share it with them.
And that's what I was going to say too, is when in the past election, mm-hmm. you know, I had a team helping me, just as Congressman Potts mentioned. And so, although I didn't send the voter list, I actually was in control of that because I was thinking of it, you know, as the voter. Does a voter want everyone else to know where they live or what have you? It's personal information. So I chose not to provide that to anybody because I don't know that the voter gave me permission to do so. But I do see what you're saying because you usually have a team helping you along. But in that instance, I chose to keep that information to myself. However, I did share it with a distributor for the mail-outs because that was allowable.
Go ahead, Council Gill. Thank you, Congresswoman Rebord.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Rencounter, can I ask you, when the candidates request a list, aren't they getting a membership list, not just a voter registry list, or are they just getting a voter registry list?
They're just getting a voter registry list because our voters can participate in the privacy program and have their name and address removed from the list, so we only supply a specific list of names.
I see.
And membership also includes minors.
So this list apply, or this restriction then applies to the candidates as requesting the voter registry list?
Because we don't know if it was a candidate or a voter that distributed possibly a list to some other campaign committee outside the Osage Nation, it has to apply to all voters, not just candidates.
So we might want to look at an amendment just to allow for the candidate, and you know the candidates mm-hmm. would be in control of their own campaign. So at least to allow that they can control anybody that's working for their campaign or volunteering for their campaign, as long as they sign, you know, a form that says they agree to keep it confidential, something to that effect, would get us around this prohibition. I'm not sure what the if there's any punishment for sharing the list listed there. It doesn't look like there is. But.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. To respond to that, Mr. Gill, I agree that the candidate should be in control of that list, but what you said is that candidate agrees to make sure that list is confidential. None of that information is confidential. And what Ms. Rencounter is saying, any voter can walk in and request that list.
I misspoke. Agrees to keep it, agrees not to distribute it to outside parties. So you would be responsible for the people that work for your campaign. As long as they've signed a document that says they agree not to distribute it, you would be okay. You would not be liable. If they then went ahead and distributed it, they would be the ones that would be you know, at issue for distributing the list. And I can craft that amendment if the committee wishes to do so.
Chair.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard, then I...
Thank you. Go ahead. Trey, how would that address, though, the entities? So when we send the mailing list to those distributing our mailouts, if we pay for that service...
Yeah, it looks like this could really use a little bit closer look, to be honest. So, it would need to address those as well. Because obviously you guys are sending them to third-party companies to send out your mailouts.
Just my cursory glance has just struck that clause completely. Because, like...
Can you not make an exception for candidates?
Well, the enforcement of it's like any Osage voter can get the list. We're really going to combat them sharing it with someone. It's already a public, like what Eli said. Like, I don't know if the enforcement can match. I mean, that's why it's just like a cursory glance, just looking at this. Get rid of that clause. But obviously, like Trey said, there's more nuance to this.
But I guess from what the other side of it is, if the voters have the ability to remove their names from this registry list, or at least the registry list that's going to be sent out, then what is the fear of the election board that it's going to be shared with somebody else, whether it's Uncle Joe or Cherokee Nation Chief or whoever?
Hold on, let me pull my thoughts together. That's a lot. So the law allows voters to have access. And while I understand from a candidate's perspective, they need to conduct a campaign, I don't feel that it's the Cherokee Nation's privilege to have access to our list, even though it is public documentation. I think it should still be just our voters getting the list, even though it would be through one of our voters.
So, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Council Gill.
I think this would be, you know, an issue that we might want to take up at a later date with the board and have another amendment come forward. I mean, we're getting to the end of session. I can definitely craft some amendments, but I think we need to get to the root of what the board had in mind. And I mean, we could limit it only to the candidates. I understand there's other third parties out there that are going to want to be able to send mailers out, but we could address each one of those issues if we can identify them, without allowing every single voter the ability to request the voter registry. But I'm not sure that I can do all of that in this committee meeting without at least getting some input from, I just need to understand the entire scope of it a little bit more before we can address it.
Thank you, Council. Congresswoman Rivard.
Mr. Gill, one of the reasons that they brought it down during HUNCA was because they're going to do a mail out in May to notify the voters of any changes. And so I, you know, again, apologize that, you know, this was filed at this time. Director Raincounter had to wait for her board to meet and to approve the changes. And so I apologize, but the goal was to, for them to mail out to the voters in May.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, Council Gill.
Like I said, I'm certainly happy to draft amendments. I fear that I am going to draft an amendment that is not going to completely solve the issues that need to be addressed. That language is currently in the law. So however you guys want to address it, I'd be happy to get with the board today, if possible, by phone, and see if I can come up with a proposed amendment.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you. So if there's an amendment and some of this language is changed, would it need to be approved by your board again?
No, I don't. Well, Okay, so the board has drafted these recommended changes, but they don't actually approve these changes. Congress does, so it's what is in what you think is in the voter and candidate's best interest to put into legislation.
Chair. Yeah, go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Based on the timeline that you have with the mail out that you are planning to do, I think we should go ahead and try to get that amendment in. The fear for me is that we don't get it 100% right, and it's pretty important, but we could certainly try it.
Go ahead, Director Rencounter.
Do you pinky promise to take that one issue up again at a later date and could possibly strike it out of the legislation number 5 for now?
Yes.
I'm going to hold you to it. Thank you.
You're comfortable striking that?
Yes, ma'am.
To get better verbiage.
Yes.
So the chair will now entertain a motion on ONCA 2359 at this time. Oh, go ahead, Congresswoman Revard.
Yes, Chair. I think we ought to. I was going to say, can we draft an amendment to strike that? And then just table it and come back and we can move on through the other bills.
I can say the amendment and the clerk can write it down right here.
Go back.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Well, the time, let's just move it out and then we can amend it later. I just want to do that.
Billy, Congressman Potts.
Oh, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I have some additional questions on the need for notarization of your ballot. So the process for requesting a ballot at 6103 is that a legible photocopy of government issued photo identification is required to be submitted with an application. An individual signature is on the government issued photo ID. Are we not currently matching to that signature?
We do have in our policy and procedure what we would consider a legible photo ID, and signature being legible is part of that, but I don't know about you, but the signature pads that they use at the tag office aren't always the best. And we feel there is that, I understand it's through a state agency, but I feel like notarizing a signature for a ballot to elect our leaders of the Osage Nation is a small step to get to where we need to be.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I understand that, but as Congresswoman Lemon said, I don't ever want to be in a position to make it more difficult for a voter to vote. And I don't think anybody does. But we do have to examine the unintended consequences of that. And just as you said, you know, the pad at the DMV may not be the best. Well, not everybody's bank has a notary. Access to a notary is not something that is readily available as it was even 5 years ago. And so I understand the desire to have that. And it is a small step, but it's a step. And it is a barrier, whether it's a small barrier or a large barrier. Requiring notarization of a ballot is a barrier to voting.
We're not asking for ballots to be notarized. We're asking for one form. So the state of Oklahoma, during voter registration, you fill out your voter registry and you become a voter. And then they require you as an absentee voter, because I am one, to notarize every single absentee ballot that is returned. So we are asking to notarize one form, and then we will compare ballots for the elections after that to that form.
Okay.
Go ahead, Council Gill.
Just in reference to the previous discussion, the motion would be on page 2, line 55 and 56, strike lines 55 and 56.
So move.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to strike lines 55 and 56 for ONCA 23-59. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Chair will now entertain motion on ONCA 23-59. Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Motion to report ONCA 23-59 as amended to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
There's a motion and a second to report out ONCA 23-59 as amended. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Moving on. Next on the agenda is ONCR 23-10, a resolution commending the Wildland Fire Management Department and directing distribution. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard. Congresswoman Rivard, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'll be quick. So I've had to, I don't know about the rest of the committee, but I've been subjected to having to use, you know, the Wildland Fire and rural firefighters in my area, not for me personally, but neighbors and things of that nature. Also following along, you know, where our firefighters are going, and I've always just felt like they're not recognized for the hard work and the seriousness and the nature of their work as to when they come home, as other tribes do for their firefighters. And I'm very proud of this initiative that we do, that we provide for our folks in our jurisdiction and even outside. I'm very impressed with the way the firefighters, or wildland firefighters, that they network and work with other tribes. It's a completely different type of department. And because of the way they network with other folks, including BLM and the other rural firefighters. So this was just an attempt to acknowledge them and everything that they do for our people and other people alike. I was able to witness them network with other entities and to participate to save a home and where a child was involved, and watching them and the capacity and the quickness, the working together. And it's just something that's always been on my mind for some time, and I didn't know how other to recognize them and their efforts. And again, to the serious of the subject matter. And I thought, I reached out to Trey, and I felt it would require stronger than a citation, but a resolution. And I would urge my colleagues to co-sponsor with this resolution. And so those are my comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Would anyone else like to speak? Yeah, go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
I'm going to be brief. I support this, Congresswoman Rivard, and these are the types of positions that are thankless. You know, there's a lot of those around, you know, that we have in what we do, and it's important to recognize, acknowledge the passion that these individuals have for the jobs that they do. And so I absolutely support this. And in fact, I'm going to look for other areas that are, you know, not looked at and more as a thankless position that we just take for granted. And this is basically letting them know we don't take you for granted, that we see you. We see you. So I make a motion to report ONCR 23-11 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Oh, it's 2310.
Oh, 2310. Sorry, I can't even see.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to report out ONCR 2310. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Moving on, agenda item number 7, ONCR 23-11, a resolution to approve the Osage Nation Election Board rules and regulations in accordance with the Osage Nation election. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard. Congresswoman Rivard, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And again, I'd like to turn this over to Ms. Director Raincounter to describe the changes requested.
I promise I'll be faster. So
Our rules and regs are no longer going to require candidates to sign a receipt saying they received their candidate packet, because we're moving towards a more electronic way of providing that information. We, the rules and regs also are prohibiting, they are going to prohibit our election board staff and contractors from attending campaign events for like candidate dinners, et cetera. It is now going to allow for our contractors and staff to attend nonpartisan events, whereas we couldn't before. Business entity language regarding donations has been removed, so it will be in line with the election campaign finance laws that were previously passed. The campaign finance reporting deadlines have been cleaned up, so there is no, when did my last report end? When does this one start? Everybody's ends on the same day and starts on the same day, and we'll already have those numbers in your report for you, so you don't have to figure it out. Big change, I don't know why, but for some reason, everybody is afraid of the word deficiencies. So that seems a really negative word. So we decided to change it to inaccuracies. So any sort of mistake that we find, I guess deficiency was too harsh. So we're going to use inaccuracies now. And then the rest of it is moving around language that kind of cleans it up and takes away duplicate language and things like that.
Could we use scantiness instead? I'm just kidding.
You're here.
Does anyone have any questions for Director Rencounter?
Also, are the rules and regs attached to the resolution? I can't remember. Okay.
I sent out the packet with everything to the committee members, so they should have.
Okay, perfect.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
That was going to be my request, as I know we do have them. Do you happen to have a red line version?
Yeah, you should have got the red line version.
There is a red line version attached?
I can send it to you, yeah.
I don't know that I've seen the red line version.
Yeah, I actually don't have a copy either, so.
Yeah, I can send those out.
Thank you.
Could you, Chair, could you send them to Caitlin so she could send them to the full body of Congress?
Yes, ma'am.
And just remember, when you're considering the rules and regs, it is a pass or fail with your resolution. And you all cannot make changes unless you request them from the board.
Thank you, Director Rencounter. Anyone else? If not, the chair will entertain motion on ONCR 2311. Go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Motion to report ONCR 2311 to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second. There's a motion and a second to report out ONCR 2311 to Congress with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on. There's a motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. That was record.